time and the pain to lay a foundation on the concept of investing, things that we need to invest, things that we need to know rather, about investing in our spiritual growth. Then from that place, we went ahead to share with us reasons why everybody must be a wise investor in their spiritual lives. Today, by the special grace of God, we want to take the conversation further, or our discussion further. We are going to be zeroing in today very specific on the kind of investments that we need to make into our spiritual growth. The kind of investment that you must make in your spiritual growth that will empower you to grow spiritually. Let's read our foundation scripture once again. Colossians 2 verse 6 and 7. God's word says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in what? In him. Walk ye in him. After you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's imperative that you cultivate your walk with him. And it says in verse 7, the result of that walk will lead you to verse 7. You'll be rooted and built up what? In him. Rooted talks about downward growth. Built up talks about upward growth. And stabilize where? In the faith. Stability will come. Once you are taking root downwards and you are bearing fruit upwards, you'll be stabilized, or you'll be stable in the faith. And he says, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. It's important for us to realize that the subject of spiritual growth is very important to God. It's very paramount to the heart of God. And any serious-minded child of God will be interested in making worthwhile investments. Like I did mentioned, the subject of investing into your spiritual growth is one of the most profitable things that you can ever do. In fact, when you do that, you are helping yourself a great deal. And so what are the elements or what are the kind of investments that I must put into my spiritual life? Because we are talking about investing in your spiritual growth, then there are some kind of things you must spend time. Don't forget the definition of invest. It means to, you know, spend money, spend time, spend energy, etc., into something with the sole objective of making a profit or having an advantage. So we want to look at the things that you need to put into your spiritual growth. There are five things we intend to speak to us, or I intend to speak with us as God permits or allows us. The first thing is that you need to invest in the word of God. The second thing is that you need to invest in your prayer life. The third thing is that you need to invest in your service to the Lord. Then the fourth thing is that you need to invest also in resources and materials that will enable your spiritual life. Then the last but not the least is that you need to invest also in learning from others. I'm going to be zeroing in today, or for now, on the first one, which is investing in the Word of God. If you want to grow spiritually, that is an area you must invest. You need to spend your time, you need to spend your money, you need to spend your energy on things that are related to God's Word. You know, most of the time, many people do not understand the value, the significance and the importance of God's word. People wonder at times, why do you have to hear the word of God in and out of season? I thought I had it last week. Why should I hear it again? Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot underestimate the value, the significance, and the importance of God's word. I, for instance, sir, I will not be standing here before you today if not for the help, the assistance, and the impact of God's word. You see, God's word plays a major role in our spiritual lives. Amen? Amen. I said amen. Amen. You see, that's why you see the disciples, the apostles, in Acts 6 verse 4, they said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word of God. That's to tell you the value, the significance, and the importance. It's not something that you can play with. Listen, if you don't invest in the study of God's word, you will not make appreciable progress in your spiritual life. Not just spiritual life, even in other areas of life. The word of God is so critical, so important, you know, so valuable. There's a scripture I'm trying to remember. I think it's Colossians 3:16. God's word says, let me put it on the screen. I want to show you something that says, let the word of Christ do what? Dwell in who? How? What's the meaning of richly? Abundantly. When something is in abundance, it's what? Overflows. He's saying you should be saturated in the word of God. There is no how, as a Christian, you will survive without saturating yourself. Many of us, we are saturated with other things. Saturated with news. Amen, somebody. Listen, I try to keep tab with what is happening, but I don't dwell there. I don't live there. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody in the house. You know, God, there was a time God had to even like, it was like a question. He said, it's like you are much more interested in the dailies, the newspapers, than my word. I buy a newspaper, don't get me wrong, but you see, I don't dwell there. I don't live there. Amen, somebody? Amen. I don't know why you understand what I'm going to say dwell or live there. I mean, some people dwell, they live inside news. Amen, somebody? Amen. What do I mean? Front page, back page, middle page. You are consuming everything. Amen, somebody? And you cannot begin to download anywhere you go. I mean, people spend a lot of time. Don't get me wrong. For me, I read news for information. That's all. Amen, somebody? Not, I can't be living inside the news. Amen, somebody? Most of those news are negative news. If you check any daily news, any paper, I can assure you that 90% of the news is not encouraging or building your faith. There was one day, I buy most of the time the Nation. So I said, where's all the guys? I put down the papers. There is no few encouraging news there. And that's the world some of us live. Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, saturate yourself. This world is a toxic place. This world is a polluted world. There's a scripture in James 1, I think it's verse 27, when he was saying pure religion before God and man is to visit the fatherless and visit, the widows, in the affliction. And that says, look at this, and keep yourself, what? Unspotted. The word unspotted means unblemished. Listen, we are living in a corrupt world. The word of God has or possess sanctifying or purifying power. That's why the word of God says in John, Jesus said rather, John 15 verse 3, he says, you are cleansed. How? Through the word that I've spoken to you. The word has cleansing power. Ephesians 5, 26, Paul writing, he said that he may sanctify and cleanse the church. How? By the washing of the water by the word. You see, that word has, someone say purification. It's making you whole. It's renewing you. Proverbs 30 verse 5, it says every word of God, not some, every, say every, somebody. Every word of God is pure. That's why it can refine, it can purify, it can cleanse, it can renew. He's a shield unto those that put their trust in him. Ask your neighbor this question. Say, to what extent do you saturate yourself in the Word of God? Listen, that's one investment you must not play with. One investment you must spend your time, you must spend your energy on. If you want to make appreciable progress this year, not just spiritually, in every area of life, you must invest in the Word of God. If you heard what I said, say amen, somebody. Amen. Now, why invest in God's Word? Why do I need to do that? Number one, you need to do that because the Word of God is food for your inner man. Say food. Let me ask you a question. Why do you eat food? Who can help us? Why do you eat food? For nourishment? Thank you. Why do you eat food? To grow? Amen. For strength? Now, think about what food does to your natural body. If you can imagine that, that is what the Word of God does to your spirit and your soul. Do you know there is no medicine that can heal the soul? Do you know that? Thank God for all our medical people. I appreciate them. There's no medicine that can heal the soul. Listen, the Word of God is that veritable tool that can cure, minister to your soul, your spirit. When you invest in the Word of God, you are feeding your spirit and your soul, which makes up your inner man. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. Matthew 4 verse 4. Man shall not live by what? Bread alone. But by what? Every word that proceeds from where? There's an encounter that God gave John, the beloved, in the book of Revelation. Revelations 10 verse 9 and, verse 9 to 10. God gave him, you know, a scroll. An angel brought a scroll. He said, eat it. Now that scroll is a type of the Word of God. He said, when I ate it, it was sweet in my mouth, but bitter in my belly. The Word of God is a double-edged sword. Amen, somebody? Amen. Hebrews 4 verse 12, what does it say? It says, the Word of God is what? Quick and what? Powerful. Look at your neighbor and say, are you feeding fat? I tell people at times, I say, I am feeding. I'm feeding on the Word of God. You feed on it. Amen, somebody? Amen. Why? It's food. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15 verse 16. So I said, why do you get that concept? Look at Jeremiah 15, 16. It says, your word were fan, and I ate them. So it has to be food. Amen, somebody? Amen. Otherwise, why is he eating it? I hope you know what I mean by eating. I'm not saying tearing the sheet of the Bible. I told one very funny story. In church, why people should be tearing it. That you are eating the word. That's not correct. Amen, somebody. In fact, you can eat plenty. That does not mean that the devil will run away from you, but things will change. The word must enter into you. That's when it makes a difference. Enter into your spirit. Enter into your soul. It changes you. Can I have an amen to that effect? So tap your name and say, invest in it. It's food. If you're not investing in it, you are starving yourself. You're starving yourself. And you won't be strong. So I say, how do I develop spiritual muscles? That's how you develop spiritual muscles. If you don't feed it, you don't see why, if as a Christian, you live days without meditating the Word of God, without hearing. You are starving yourself. You now wonder why you are weak. You now wonder why you cannot resist. Amen, somebody. Amen. I think I've told you this story before. You know, there's some kind of food. You know, there's some things you have encounters in your dream. They bring food, you eat. I say, when I ate that food, I became so heavy. It was like I was paralyzed spiritually. But you know, you get to a level. They bring all manners. You chocolate in the words of Zebediah, and nothing happens to you. It's a level. Amen, somebody. Tapping and says it's a level. So I say, Pastor, but I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Paralyze me spiritually. I'm so weak. I've had people who have come to share that kind of experience with me. And it's real. Look, it's real. It's real. Those things are real. But I also know that there are people who have chocolate. Say chocolate. the words of Zebediah had not yet. It's a level. Say level, somebody. You know what they call Yoruba level? They call it Ajara or Ajesara, something like that. How do we translate that in English? What you have eaten? You know what I mean by amen. Somebody. Fortifier, something like a fortifier. So look at your neighbor and say, that's why you must invest in the world. It's food. Say it's food, somebody. Number two, why should I invest in the word of God? It's not just food. It makes you strong and grow spiritually. We've said it earlier on. If you don't eat natural food, you can't be strong. You can't be strong. You need when you take natural food, it gives you strength. The same way when you feed upon the word of God, it makes you strong spiritually. That's why you see over and over, Paul said in Acts 20:32, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is what? Able to build you up. Tap it over and say, the word will build you up. Say, build me up. That means you will grow. Acts 20:32. It's able to build you up. 1 Peter 2 verse 2 says, as newborn babies desire what? I can't hear. Say, desire what? The sincere milk of the word. Why? So that you can grow. There's a milk of the word. There is a meat of the word. Hello? You give milk to a baby or babies. As the baby is growing, the diet changes. Amen, somebody? Amen. The baby begins to go for, you know, the bones. Amen, somebody? Amen. Give me amala. Give me isiewu. Give me aku. Amen, somebody? Amen. Give me ogufe. Amen, somebody? Amen. Hello, somebody in the house? You cannot give ogufe to a three-month-old baby. Amen, somebody? Amen. Is that not so? You want to kill the baby. Amen, somebody? The baby cannot, the digestive system cannot handle that at that stage. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 11, when I was a child, there was a time I was a child. Amen? Amen. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. He said, but when I became a man, what happened? I put away childish things. So there's a time for everything. So listen, you need the word. You need to invest in the word because it is that thing that will make you to grow. Are you getting me this morning? If God says this is the food, this is the instrument, this is the vehicle, there is no other way. Hello? If you don't invest in the word of God, you can't grow spiritually. You can't. That's the way to make it happen. Invest in it. Saturate yourself in it. And I'm going to be explaining in a minute how you can do that. You know, there's a scripture in 1 John 2 verse 14. It says, I've written unto you, the B part, the young man. It said, because, watch this. It said, because you are strong. Why? The word of God does what? Abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. So, it is the word abiding in you that makes you what? Strong. And when you are strong, you're in a position to deal with the wicked one. If you understood what I said, say amen, somebody. Amen. This is why we must invest in the word of God. If you want to grow spiritually. Number three, you need to invest in the word of God because the word of God is God's will for your life. You know, people always say this, I don't know the mind of God. I don't know what God is saying about this. The problem is that people are not familiar with the scriptures. People are not familiar with the word of God. The word of God is the revelation of the mind and the will of God. Ephesians 5:17 says, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of what? The Lord is. Look at this. One of the symbolisms that the Bible uses to talk about the word of God is light. Say light, somebody. Watch this. Psalm 101, verse 105. Watch this. Thy word is what? A lamp unto what? My feet and what?
I want to ask you a question. What's the difference between the light and the lamp? Anybody? What's the difference between a lamp and a light? Watch this. Lamp unto what? Say feet, somebody. I can't hear you. Say feet, somebody. Now watch this. Light unto what? Thank you, sir. Is the level or the degree of what illumination that is different? Lamp is only sufficient to guide you what? Your feet. But light broadens what? Your path. As a higher degree of illumination. Say illumination. Illumination means to throw or shed light on what? Something. That's what the word of God does. It sheds light. So you are no longer in the dark. That's why you need it. The reason a lot of people are in the dark as per, I don't know what God is saying. I don't know what. They don't know the word. You are not familiar with the word. And you'll be walking in the dark, because what is supposed to reveal the mind of God, and I mean the mind of, in every area. I once had this very funny story. Kenneth Hagin of Blessed Memory shared a story. He was pastoring a church then. Somebody came to the church. He said he wanted to pray. He just felt like saying, okay, what do you want to pray about? He said, I want to spend time overnight to pray. He said, well, I want to pray to God about my marital life. So that's beautiful, beautiful. He said, if I may ask, what do you want to pray about? And actually, he mentioned somebody. He said, I am feeling something. He said, feeling something, something. He said, I'm feeling maybe the Lord is leading me in that direction. So I want to pray over so that I will know what God is saying. He said, you don't need to waste your time. He said, why is that? He said, God is not saying anything. He said, how do you know? He said, that person is married. I know some of you are laughing, but he said, it's married. So don't waste your time. God cannot give you another man's wife. I said, no. He said, God, the spirit. He said, God cannot. God is not the author of confusion now. He said, go ahead, spend your time, because he was adamant. I will go ahead. I will be interested in what God says. So we spent overnight praying. So in the morning, so what did God say? He said, God did not say anything in particular. I said, I told you, he won't say anything. I mean, if it's the spirit of God, though. Yes, but you know, that kind of thing is dangerous also, too. Because if you want God to say something about something that he already said something about, you know, he won't say anything. Then you hear another voice that will speak to you. Satan always takes advantage. Look at your neighbor, say, when you know the word of God, you'll be familiar with his will. You see, this is why we need, at times, I have laughed at some things. When people come to me and I'm laughing, I say, Pastor, why are you laughing? I say, I'm very sorry. You know, I'm trying to downplay the seriousness of the man, just so that you two will be relaxed. I say, but this thing you are trying to do is not necessary. He said, why? I say, this is what the word of God said. He said, So the problem is that people are in the dark. What's the remedy for darkness? I can't hear you. Shout it, somebody. Where do you get light? It's here. You know, one of the things I was telling, I said, we are blessed in this generation. You know why I said that? In the days when I grew up spiritually, I have to travel to, say travel. It was some distance. I had to go to the National Library in a lorry to go and study. There was only one place in the lorry that had strong, exhaustive concordance of the Bible in those days in the lorry. And some kind of Bible, we go there, say we go there. Some of my will say, no, with your phone now, say phone, somebody. You can get it. There's so many things that we have that can enrich us with, that people are not taking advantage of. In those days, I discovered that by the time I get there, one of my friends have got it, they borrowed the book. So you'll be queuing up. You don't need to queue up now, because those things, fingertip, you can just press something and it's in your hands. Look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor, say, what are you doing with the Bible in your phone? Say, what are you doing with the apps that you have on Bible, you know, outline, studies? Ask him, I say, what are you doing? Some of us have downloaded something you have not visited about the world since all these days. Look at the neighbor and say, this year, things will change. You're not saying like somebody should say, things will change. Let's invest in the word of God. It's one of the best investments you can ever do for yourself. Because of the brevity of my time, I will just say one way by which you can make this kind of, how can I invest in the word of God? I've just mentioned one because of time. The first way you can do that is to begin to read the word of God. What did I say? Read it. Say read it, somebody. That's the starting point. 1 Timothy 4:13. Paul says, before I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. There's a place for reading. You know, Jesus was one of the people who read the scriptures in the synagogue. Luke 4:16. The Bible says he came to the synagogue as his custom was. He is a regular reader. Amen, somebody. He stood up to read. He took the Bible. Or took, you know, of course not the kind of Bible that we have complete, but he took it and read. He found a place, a prophecy that was spoken. But look at that word. Say, stop your number. Say, as his custom was. What does that mean? Regular. It's not something he was doing once in a while. There's a place for reading. Isaiah 34:16. Seek ye out of the book of the law and read it. That's what the Bible says. Seek it and what? Read. Say read. Say not one of these will fail. That is the word of God. Not one will want a mate. Do you know that there are mate scriptures? There are counterpart scriptures. That's why we can't build the doctrine of just lift one scripture from somewhere and say this. You must balance things. Amen, somebody. For my mouth has what? Commanded. And my spirit has what? I was blessed some years ago. One of God's great generals, I'm not sure whether it was Smith Wigglesworth, I can't remember who said it. He said, I read the Bible in English, I read the Bible in the original language, and I read it in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Whatever language you are familiar with, I think most people know English. Tell your neighbors, you read the Bible in English. Say, read it in the original language. When I say original, I mean the original language of the Bible, which is basically Hebrew and Greek. Amen, somebody. And read it in what? In the whole. You will get a fuller, complete picture. I want to challenge you here this morning. If you have never read the Bible through your entire Christian life, you must do so this year. I'm not hearing amen. Amen. Elbow your neighbor. Have you read the Bible through? Before. Tap your neighbor. Say, what are your spiritual resolutions this year? Or plans? Tell him, I say, put it there. Put it there. I'll close with this testimony. There's a young lady several years ago, finished from pharmacy, University of Ibadan. When I challenged people at the particular year, I can't remember, on, you know, what I'm telling you now, she took the challenge up. I've been a Christian for more than 10 years. I don't know. You know, one amazed I was, she read the Bible through within two times in that year. Two times as a student. She now was telling me, said, my life has changed. You see, you cannot have a right heart and, you know, go into God's word and remain the same. I'm believing God this year that the word of God will change us from inside out in Jesus' name. Rise up on your feet this morning. It's to be saturated and full of your word, that your word will dominate every area of my life. My thoughts, my counsel, my decision, and my ways. Come on, lift up your hands and begin.